Let's take another look at the second part of today's story from Mark's Gospel. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. This story, traditionally called the story of the widow's mite, appears at first glance to be the perfect story for a stewardship sermon, in which the poor widow is held up as an example of the sort of sacrificial giving we are called to. Let us emulate the widow and give our all, would be how that goes. Best of all, from the institutional church's perspective, the widow gives everything she had to the institution, into the temple treasury. What is more, Jesus appears to commend the widow's sacrificial giving. So, obviously, what this means is that Jesus wants us to give more to the church. I wouldn't blame you if you are clutching your wallets or purses a little more tightly right now. Actually, Jesus does not explicitly commend the widow, but he does, as one commentator notes, hold her up as an example, recognizing and affirming the small acts of the little people from God's own perspective. There is more to this story than meets the eye. As another commentator points out, the Jesus I know does not ask the destitute to squeeze themselves to the last drop to serve God. Rather, Jesus comforts and blesses them. So you can relax your grip on your wallets. Jesus does not want us to be like the widow and give till it hurts after all. Just before this story, Jesus denounces the exploitation of the poor by the elites, warning his hearers to beware of the scribes who devour widows' houses. This teaching of Jesus's and the story of the poor widow are the only places in Mark's Gospel where the author uses the word widow. So we are meant to understand that there is a connection between Jesus's denunciation of those scribes who are self-aggrandizing and exploitative, and his praise of the widow. The editors of the lectionary got it right by joining these two stories together because they belong together. Together, they show that the story of the widow's mite is not so much the perfect example of stewardship as it is an indictment of the failure of the elites of Jesus' day to care for the marginalized, widows being considered especially vulnerable. Jesus' praise of and concern for the poor widow of the story is also consistent with the frequent characterization of God in the Old Testament as the protector of orphans and widows. The apple does not fall far from the tree. So these stories should raise for us the question of who are the widows, so to speak, of our own day? Who are the marginalized? Who are vulnerable to exploitation by the powerful? The results of the recent presidential election in the United States might make us want to put migrants and asylum seekers at the top of that list, given what happened under the president-elect's previous administration. Of course, before we indulge in self-righteous indignation over the treatment of the marginalized in other countries, we need to remember our own country's track record. Today being Remembrance Sunday, we may be reminded that the 8th of November was Indigenous Veterans Day, which honors the First Nation, Inuit, and Métis people who served in our armed forces. It is worth remembering that the vast majority of Indigenous people who served in the conflicts commemorated on Remembrance Day would have been forced to attend residential schools. Yet, like the widow who gave her all to an institution that ultimately did not deserve her loyalty, they demonstrated loyalty to a nation hardly deserving of it, with an estimated 500 Indigenous persons making, as we like to say on Remembrance Day, the supreme sacrifice. Just as we can admire the faithfulness of the poor widow from today's story from Mark's Gospel, while decrying the circumstances of her poverty, we can salute the bravery of Canada's Indigenous veterans while lamenting the racism that they had to endure. Indeed, apparently, Indigenous veterans and families were not authorized to lay wreaths or have their own formed guards at the National War Memorial here in Ottawa on Remembrance Day until the mid-1990s. While today's story from Mark's Gospel begins with Jesus denouncing those with authority who abuse their positions, it ends with Jesus praising the poor widow for her selfless act of devotion. This means that we should pay particular attention to that part of the story. That Jesus praises the widow for giving her all reminds us, as one commentator suggests, of the disciples who are called to give their lives for Jesus and the gospel, and of Jesus himself, who does give his life for others. And just last week, you may remember, we were reminded that Jesus declares that any who would follow him must be prepared to give their all. It is worth asking whether this means, perhaps, that Jesus is asking too much of those who would follow him. But one way of looking at it is to say that Jesus is not so much demanding us to sacrifice everything on his behalf, as he is saying that what it means to follow him is that we are to dedicate all that we are and all that we have to love and serve God and neighbor. Indeed, had we not transferred our observance of All Saints to this past Sunday, last week we would have heard the story of Jesus teaching the two great commandments, the commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. The poor widow of today's story from Mark's Gospel thus becomes an example of what it looks like to love the Lord your God with all your strength. She gave to the temple because, in Jesus' culture, that would have been the most acceptable way of showing love to God. Now, as other parts of the New Testament, not to mention the rest of the Bible, show, loving God and neighbor is not a matter of exclusively supporting institutional religious structures. That just happens to be the way in which the widow demonstrates her devotion, but it is not the only way. What I think we are to take from this story is that, for one, everyone is capable, even under adverse circumstances, of expressing love of God and of neighbor. There tends to be an unspoken assumption of superiority in our society of those who provide charitable support over those who receive it. But the story of the poor widow suggests that that assumption is false. As author Henri Nouwen learned from his experience with the L'Arche community, it was those who were most disabled who truly showed what love, both for God and from God, truly looked like. For another, by virtue of their self-giving, the marginalized can challenge the systems that oppress them. Many of Canada's Indigenous veterans were decorated for their bravery, demonstrating that they were equal to, or better than, those who looked down on them because of their race. The widow's gift, meanwhile, can be seen as a challenge to the elites of her day to care for her and others in her circumstances, as God's law enjoined them to, reinforcing Jesus' denunciation. Ultimately, we are indeed called to give our all, not so much to the institutional church, but in the form of acts of love directed toward God and neighbor. Indeed, as the parable of the sheep and the goats from Matthew's Gospel so vividly demonstrates, to love our neighbor is to love God. And the story of the widow's mite shows that even the smallest act of love is acceptable to God.